This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning to you. So many things to talk about. I want to start with baseball. How do you feel about that? Mr. Intentional Talk? Are you good with that?
Sure.
Carlos Carrasco is dealing with a little injury. It's so funny what a difference a year makes. I mean, you're looking at four guys that were your top five starters last year that now walk in, two of them are gone, and two are hurt. And it's just, man, you never know what to expect in this game. And I'm just wondering if you're hearing anything more on Carrasco than we are, that he was walking around with a cane and now he's got to get checked out.
No. I mean, you know, we'll all wait for tomorrow once they release whatever information they get after an MRI. Stinks. That's why you need eight starters when you go into spring training, because you're going to need them at some point, most likely. You don't think you're going to need two out of the gate. If there is any solace that fans can take, it's that, you know, there's so many scheduled off days in April because of the weather. So if you're going to lose guys, lose them now, I suppose. But, you know, let's just wait for tomorrow.
You know, Chris, you mentioned the eight starters. The Indians seem to have them. But you kind of have your fingers crossed that Zach can make that next step, you know, that Savali can make that next step, that Pletko ends up being what he was at, you know, at the end of last year when we saw him pitch pretty well a little bit. And then Jeffrey Rodriguez and Logan Allen, and there are guys there, but they all have to maybe do a little bit better than they did in the past to get this thing where you want it to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're also all pretty young guys.
Sure.
I mean, those aren't guys that are 30 years old and you kind of plug them in and you know what you're going to get, which is kind of the exciting part and also the terrifying part, because, you know, Jeffrey Rodriguez is a guy that kind of the main guy we got in the Yan Gomes deal. Yeah. And, you know, you always wonder, well, why does a team that covets pitching give up on a guy? Why are they willing to do that? So it's like they probably know something that you don't. And, you know, for him, it's a guy that's battled some inconsistency, but he's got a good live arm. And Logan Allen was a top 100 prospect, that, you know, not all that long ago. And, yeah, I mean, those guys have to do it not only for us but for them too, because you can get caught in the wash, kind of get passed around from team to team, and before you know it, you're just kind of a career minor leaguer at best if you don't take that step.
Chris, what do you think the Indians outfield is going to look like? We've been sitting here kicking this around for a week.
Yeah.
Or more than that, but I mean just on the air for a week.
Well, I think they're hopeful that Franmil Reyes can be a non-liability out there as long as he can be average. Because if, you know, you look at that guy and you think 35 to 40 homers when he gets off the bus, right?
Yep.
And he's such a lovable guy, and he's, you know, I think Cleveland fans got a little bit of a taste of it last year, but not a ton. I mean, guys in a clubhouse just love him. So he does play a huge role on a team like this. But it would mean so much to the franchise if he could just be an outfielder that doesn't kill him, you know, defensively. So you'd love to see that out there. Mercado's obviously in center. You know, and I'm guessing it's some combination of Luplo. You know, I've always liked what Greg Allen brings to the team. You know, you'd like to see him be a little more consistent. But I always love what he does. You know, he just brings a different speed dimension. Defensively, you can play him anywhere. So with all that being said, I have no clue.
Okay, so welcome to the club.
Well, let me ask you about another guy you didn't mention. Is Domingo Santana the guy that has been so intriguing in the past, hit 30 home runs with Milwaukee and 21 early on with Seattle last year, or is he the guy who gets dinged up all the time and doesn't play a whole lot? Which guy is he? Yeah, heavy sigh is right.
Yeah, he just I've always liked him.
Me too.
And I actually thought the Indians were going to try and make a play for him last year when they could have bought really low, and they ended up buying low anyway on the free agent market. You know, because a couple of years ago he had a killer season in Milwaukee, and you thought like he was going to be a huge part of their future.
Yeah.
And then they ended up signing Kane and trading for Yelich, and nothing worked out for him. Yeah, I mean, he's just a guy I don't know if you can count on health-wise. You know, even last year he hit the ball really well, and then he got hurt, and you really didn't hear much from him afterwards. So I think, unfortunately, until he breaks that pattern, that's kind of who he is. But he's low risk. You know, it's not like we paid him $10 million this year. So,
well, first half of the season last year, the guy hit .286 with 18 home runs. Second right. half of the season, he hit .128. With three home right. runs and had only 108 plate appearances. And that's mm-hmm. – so that's – there's the catch, man. My fingers are crossed because, like you, Chris, I've always liked the guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's an everyday ball player, but, you know, the Indians specialized in platooning an outfield. I mean, how many years in a row have we done this, you know, where you feel like – I mean, it always feels like at least two of the three outfield spots are Platoonsville. I don't know if that's always a great way to do it, but somehow they've been able to kind of dance around the issue.
All right, let's talk about what everybody else is talking about. And just a simple Google search of touching or typing out Houston cheating gives you the crookedest – these are the headlines that you'll see right away on Google. The crookedest team in baseball history. Astros scandal whistleblower Mike Fiers says he does not need extra protection. I feel right. like I've been duped, Astros fans. Battle range of emotions. I'll give you one more. Houston Astros cheating scandal. It's only gotten nuttier. What's the end game on this?
I don't know exactly what the end game is. I think it will continue to take a different twist next week when the Red Sox report comes out, too. I know. I mean, from what we're hearing initially is that it wasn't nearly as bad as what Houston did, but it's going to be something. So,
okay.
I think we all have to kind of wait on that one. You know, to me, it's interesting. Yesterday was our first Astros-free show.
Really?
That we've had on Intentional Talk, yeah. And, I mean, we had a couple of little sound bites, I think, from Giancarlo Stanton in there, but we didn't actually, Kevin and I didn't really talk about anything new. Because after a while, it's like, well, what else new is there with it? And people are going to see the Astros whatever way they want to.
Sure.
You know, I asked Kevin the other day, I said, Kevin, you know, you walk around and you still proclaim yourself an 04 champ 16 years after it happened. Like, that's part of his shtick and part of the fun. I said, will there ever be a time where the Astros can proudly wear their rings? And he said, Chris, I don't think so. Like, that is, think about that for a second. Like, 20 years from now, those guys still aren't going to be able to wear their rings. I don't think. I mean, I know it's so new and, you know, the scab is still fresh. But do you think in, like, 2032, at the 15-year anniversary, those guys are going to be busting out those rings and be like, yep, we did it?
Maybe in Houston. That's the only thing I think of. Maybe in Houston.
You know what, though? Maybe.
I don't know.
I doubt that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a celebration, because really, like, even 10 years from now at 2027, if Jim Crane's still owning the team, do they really want to go celebrate that and then have everybody rehash it up?
And here's one other aspect of that. I was at my kid's baseball practice last night, right? And a bunch of things. One kid's banging on a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
Another coach is, something happened funny on the field, and he said, don't go Astro on me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so this is going to be all, not this year, it's going to be nuts, but it's going to be that way for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be that way for years to come. I mean, we're still going to talk about it, but it's not going to be incessant discussion, right? It's not going to be every day. Like, we still talk about steroids in baseball, but we don't talk about it every day.
No.
We just don't. I mean, we'd still talk about Pete Rose, but we don't talk about Pete Rose every day. So it's always going to be part of the fabric of this game, unfortunately, because of what they ridiculously did, those terrible decisions they made. I am really curious to see how those guys will be able to handle it. And I think it's one thing for athletes. Athletes are kind of conditioned to take a beating from fans, to take it from the media. I think they kind of have a self-defense mechanism built in over the years. But boy, when you have your peers start talking about the lack of respect they have for you as a ball player and a human being, that's totally different, I think. That's a new ball game.
One more baseball question real quick, and I want to get some football in before we got to let you go. Did every player that talked to Major League Baseball, just and help me with my ignorance here, did they all get immunity, including the Red Sox? Like, I can't imagine if any Red Sox talked to the league, or if there were other guys from other teams saying that the Red Sox were doing it. Every player got immunity if they went into the league office and said, okay, here's what happened. Is that how it worked?
That's my understanding from it. I mean, with the two press conferences that the commissioner had this week and his sit down with Carl Ravitch, that was my understanding.
Okay. Because could you imagine if they go back to the Red Sox and the Red Sox guys didn't have immunity and those guys started getting suspended? That would be like...
No, that's not going to happen, obviously. And what the commissioner did come out and say this week was that they're going to have to sit down with the PA and try and hammer out some new policy moving forward about possible player punishment if something like this ever comes up again.
I want to get this. Do you think this seventh, switching gears to football now, will the 17-game schedule happen? Will they cut back to 3 preseason games? And do you think this is really going to happen as fast as maybe some people are saying now, or is that just positioning for bargaining?
No, I think it's going to happen quickly. I mean,
this year?
I wouldn't be shocked to see 7 teams in each conference make the playoffs. Yeah.
For next season or for the season after?
Must
be next season.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, they do things quickly. Let's remember, they changed rules kind of mid-season a few years ago. This is kind of what the NFL does. They change things on the fly. Sometimes it's for great results, and sometimes it's not. But if they want to do something, they usually end up doing it.
What about 17 regular season games? I know that's on the table. Would be part of this. And is there too much, Chris? Is another game too much, especially with all the injuries and all that? Or is
I understand it from a player perspective, how they would be against it. I totally do. But, I mean, if let's try to be honest with ourselves. Let's take a big step back here. Would you not watch one more week of football?
Oh, from your standpoint, from my standpoint, I'd love it. I just don't know that it's good for the game.
People can say, at the end of the year, the rosters are thin as is, and sometimes the quarterback play stinks. You're right. Right. I mean, that's sometimes the way it goes. But at the same time, we know why it's all happening. So,
And last question on that. Do you think, because we were talking about our morning show was talking about, it makes sense, still have 8 home games, still have 8 road games, and then neutral site on the other game? What happens? Somebody give 9?
I don't know.
9 away? I mean, that's fascinating.
Maybe one year you have 8 home games and one year you have 9. Maybe that's the way it goes. I can't imagine neutral site games make sense. They just, I don't know why you're having a road game for 2 teams and maybe not a great fan turnout, depending on where it is.
Well, neutral site and international.
Okay, international, I get. I mean, yes. But, I mean, it really depends. I mean, where are they going to have a game? In San Antonio?
No, but like somebody said this morning, maybe they play one game in Columbus or maybe you play a game in Austin. I don't know. I'm just, because we've seen what the NHL has been able to do with some of these stadium series things where you're taking – that's a little different because it's outside, but you're making it huge. Like, you make it a big deal.
No, you're eventizing.
Yeah.
I get it. You're eventizing a sport. Like, okay, so if the Browns or the Bengals play a neutral site game in Columbus, does it get 100,000 fans?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't know either.
I
don't know either. I don't have the answer to that. I think it also depends on what time of year you're playing the neutral game. I mean, I think you would have to play it earlier in the year rather than later, right?
Sure.
Particularly in a cold weather city. Like, let's say it's the Browns neutral game that ends up being played in Columbus. And by the way, the other team is going to argue that that's not necessarily a neutral game, right?
Well, yeah, it just depends. I mean, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think it just depends.
Yeah, obviously, we're not going to solve this between three meatheads.
Right.
On a 15-minute call.
Wait a minute.
Morning.
Wait a minute.
Sorry, two meatheads. Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah, you and me, Chris.
You know what we haven't talked about one time is what's going on with your other job.
Yeah, how about that thing?
Take a shot at it. I'll give you. Well, I'm extending you out another minute. Ask Jeff anything about the Cavs. Go.
Will we have? Will Colin Sexton still be a Cav when he's on his seventh head coach?
We did mention that it's now number four.
Yeah.
My hope here, Chris, and I mentioned this to Andy earlier, when Dan Gilbert bought the team, they had a clear idea what was happening because LeBron was under contract for another 5 years, and Mike Brown was the coach for another five was hired and was coach for 5 years, and then they made a move there when LeBron went into free agency. They brought Byron in, and then LeBron ended up not staying, and Byron was here for 3 years. My hope is that it's pretty clear now where you're going. Where, you know, you're in a rebuild, and that my hope is J.B. Bickerstaff is the guy moving forward for a number of years to give this the continuity that I think you need in a rebuild.
Yeah, but Jeff, I got to be honest with you. I watch you guys all the time. I watch probably 85% of the Cavs games. I mean, nobody else in Los Angeles is doing that, believe me. And I watch, and I've never been more confused about a roster build in my entire life.
I know. And I understand that. You know, the only thing I can think of, Chris, and you didn't have the you ended up with the eighth and the fifth choices, which were not optimal the last two drafts, and you had to think Darius Garland was the best guy on the board at five, right? So that's why you ended up with 2 6 1 guards.
You know, when a guy plays four college games and he's 6 foot nothing, it's hard to say, especially when you've just drafted a guy
without question. Without question.
Like, it's, and I get it. And I'm not trying to put you in a bad position here because you got to cover it regardless. We've all been there.
Yep.
It makes it uncomfortable. Man, it's.
Let's put it this way. I'm sure the roster's fluid.
You think?
We hear you. Hey, Chris, we got to roll, man. Thank you. Chris. We always appreciate talking to you. Thanks, Chris.
All right, boys. Take care.
He's Chris Rosen. He was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.